Hello. Today we've reached the sixth of the I Am sayings. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The first four of these pointers to who Jesus is seem to me more solid, everyday things, maybe easier to grasp. Bread, a light, the gate, the Good Shepherd. And then last week, you may have heard Alan talking about Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Still available online if you missed it. Some years ago, one of my children brought me this book. It's called 10 Second Sermons. They maybe brought it in hope. Now, you may or may not be aware of Milton Jones. He's a comedian, not a theologian. Specialises in one-liners. I looked at the Jesus section and found one that seemed appropriate for this week. Here it is. As we know, Jesus was a very humble man who said, I am God. So, that would be my 10-second sermon. Something for you to go away and ponder. There's more in it than you'd think. However, our tradition is otherwise, so I will go on a little longer. Where does today's gospel passage come in the grand scheme of things? It might have seemed quite familiar to you for something other than Sunday services. This text is frequently read at funerals, and for good reason. It contains promises that are comforting in the face of the death of a loved one. But it isn't only about life after death. It has everything to do with our lives here and now. The setting is Jesus' farewell address at his Last Supper with his disciples. Jesus has washed his disciples' feet and has explained to them what this means. He has foretold his betrayal by Judas, and Judas has slipped out into the night. He's told his disciples that he will be with them only a little while longer, and that where he is going, they cannot come. He has also foretold Peter's imminent denial. No wonder the disciples are troubled. Their teacher is leaving them, one of their own has turned against them, and the leader among the disciples is said to be on the cusp of a failure of loyalty. It's as though the ground was shifting beneath their feet. Jesus then goes on to tell them that they know where he's going, so they'll be able to join him in new course. Now, I have no sense of direction, probably less than that. So I have every sympathy with Thomas here. What, we won't even have a postcode, so how is that going to work? Jesus' reply, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The disciples remained befuddled as always. Philip says, go on then, show him to us. And prompted a slightly exasperated reply. Well, obviously I'm skimming over the narrative, but there is some very deep stuff in this passage. As followers of Jesus, we should perhaps grapple with the deep stuff at some point. Early followers of Jesus called themselves followers of the way. But what did that mean for them and for us now? Preparing for this talk, I read round quite a lot, and I read a sermon by the Reverend Dr. Sam Wells, which made my head hurt, but it did make me think. I'll try and distill the essence of what I came across for you now. So why do we follow Jesus? As Christians, Paul said we should be ready to answer that question. I'm not sure that on any given day I could provide a coherent answer. Maybe the question should be, how do we follow Jesus? I'm tempted to focus on the way part of this saying. I've got an image in my head of Jesus showing us how to be, rather than the Old Testament's telling. This seems the most straightforward angle. However, let's start at the beginning with I am. It's probably the most important bit in all these sayings. And back to my Milton Jones sermon, Pulling No Punches, it says Jesus is God. Even without all the other references to Jesus being in God and vice versa, the use of the I am confirms Jesus' divinity. What about truth? That's a bit trickier. The Old Testament tells us of God's covenant with the people of Israel. But Israel misunderstands the relationship somehow, perhaps willfully. They felt they just had to keep God sweet with sacrifices and keeping the rules, and God would deliver the power and riches they desired, indeed felt they were entitled to. That's not what happened though. They lost everything. Then, as a nation in exile, they had chance to look again, meet God anew. Was God still with them? Well, yes, he was, but he wasn't an instrument for them to use. He was a loving presence to fill their lives. The truth is that God is with us. And everything that God is in the Old Testament is embodied in Jesus in the New. But he is not a means to an end, not merely a stairway to heaven. Back in Genesis, we were told that humans were created to be in a relationship with God. The life is to live in that truth. To develop a relationship with God for its own sake. To enjoy God, not seek to use him. Jesus didn't come to see the mistakes of the Old Testament repeated, to be compartmentalized into a corner of lives, offered sacrifice and praise in return for comfort in this life and a ticket for eternal life. He deserves more of us than that. He wants a living, growing, deepening relationship to be at the centre of our lives. To be in perfect relationship with God, each other, and our world surely is the heaven we seek. So, Jesus is God, God created humans to be in relationship with him. The life is to live in that truth. But we are not perfect. Far from it. And this is where Jesus, the way, comes in. The way is living God's future now. The way is to live an abundant life. He came that we should have life and live it abundantly. The way is any time we get the better of envy, anger, bitterness, greed, selfishness, and glimpse God. Amen.